Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I think you would all agree that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we need to rejoice in it. Not just because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you probably couldn't care less, right? But I did see a little Patriot fan running around here a little bit ago. But you know, it's days like today, if we need an excuse for family to get together, friends to get together, it can be a good time to use that as an excuse. We shouldn't need that. But all occasions are good to gather together. You know, family and friends is the most important thing that we could have here on earth. And, you know, what we leave to our family once we're gone is so important. Today, my message is going to speak to families, and not only to your immediate family, but our church family, our even those that we spend our journey with, that we walk our journey with. And we were talking to you know, my kids, my daughters, my grandkids, and you know, we talk about inheritance. And you know, the best inheritance that you could even ever leave your kids is the foundation of Jesus Christ in their lives. Of course, they still want a little bit of cash, but all in all, like I said, if I could leave this earth and know that my children will inherit that foundation, then God did His job in my life. And so I hope that that's your goal. You can reach for many things, but that should be the most important for you today. One day we'll all be out of this place. And what did we leave behind? And so today, as I said, I'm going to be speaking to families. And so before I start, I'd like to pray. Lord, I ask that as this message comes forth this day, Lord, that that this would be a message of encouragement to us, and not one of condemnation. I pray, Lord, that it would be Your heart spoken, Lord, through my lips, Lord. And Lord, that it is You that is touching the hearts of those that are here this day, Lord. Each one of them, You designated this day, Lord, to be here, Lord. This is the day, Lord, that they can rejoice. This is the day they chose to be in Your presence, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for the hearts that reach out to You in so many different ways. Amen. So I'm going to start with Colossians 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 14. And what I'm going to do is just kind of, as I go through these passages, is just kind of speak a little bit on the different verses. But this has to do with which is my power verse, as you'll see in here, is set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. It has to do with seeing people the way that God sees them, not the way that our natural eyes see them. So I'm going to read 1 through 4 right now, and it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, to set our minds on things above is to look at things from God's perspective and seek what He desires. And a lot of times we look at this and we always think about our assurance of our heavenly dwelling, our eternal life that lies ahead of us. And for all of us that are believers of Jesus Christ, that's an assurance. We will be with him in heaven. But it also has to do with how we live our life here today. Do we see and treat those around us the way that God would want us to? Now, verse 3 tells us that we died. Apparently, our mind hasn't realized what our spirit already knows. We should be above those things that can sometimes bring out the worst in each one of us. You think about it, whether it's here at church or when we do gather at our Super Bowl party today, wherever that may be, someone may give you a comment that just doesn't quite sound right to you, or maybe a look that comes your way and you think that was directed at you. That person might have been having some stomach problems, but but you take that as personal. And sometimes even you walk by someone and that person doesn't say hello or shake your hand, or you feel ignored. So what's our response? How do we react to that thing? A lot of times we say, oh yeah, well, I'll do it worse to you, you know. You want to ignore me, I'll ignore you. And so the response that we have when we encounter these things is just an open door to allow these things to fester in us. And sometimes, as I mentioned, those things that come our way weren't even directed at us. But give the enemy a little bit of a leeway, and he'll make sure that that little guy up there thinks that that's what happened. So, you know, you never think about, you know, you say we're dead. You know, we shouldn't. Dead people don't give any response to any of those things. So it's one of these deals where we have to rise above, and that's what this is about. Rising above what is before your natural eyes. And, you know, God, when God's looking at that person that you got that false message from, he's already dealing with something. Maybe that person is going through something that is more devastating to that person than that little spontaneous dirty look that you thought was for you. Who knows what that person is going through? Only God knows. Only that person knows. And so it's a time for us to lay those things aside and not let them become a part of our day or part of our tomorrows. And just say, Lord, whatever that was about, I choose not to participate in any of that. And maybe that person just needs you to be the one to not ignore them and just say hello, give them a hug. Let's go on. Verse 5 continues to say, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Now, what I see in these verses, you know, Paul's telling us that we've rid ourselves of certain issues in our lives, but we still have obstacles that we may not be free from. We're all in different places in our lives. And he mentions the first ones that you were there, but now you're not, but now you're here, but you still have some things that you've got to work on. And God never leaves us. If there's anything that obstructs your communion with him, he's not going to leave you there if you will allow him. And so there are things that we're still working on. Each one of us has different things. Each of us have different strongholds to be rid of. And have you ever told a lie just to stay out of trouble? Sometimes that comes easy, doesn't it? Well, I asked Terry back there to put up a little rectangle for me. And I've used this analogy in the past. And what you see here is solid black on one end, solid white on the other end, and lots of gray in between. Now, whenever you mix white and black, you get the gray, right? And so for a lot of us, when we look at that black part of it, the dark part that is in our lives or has been in our lives, we know enough to stay away from. You know, if any of us saw Satan in the raw, we'd run. We don't want to have nothing to do with it. And sometimes you think, well, there's Jesus on the white there. That's where I want to go. Sometimes some of us don't even want to go there either. It may be a place in your life that isn't quite ready to accept that purity that Jesus has set for you. So we wind up living in the gray zone. Telling a lie? That's not too big of a deal, is it? But the word here tells you it is. And so the idea behind having this picture up there is that as we grow with God, as we allow for ourselves, and I'll speak on that a little bit more, as we allow ourselves to be transformed, to have our minds renewed, what happens is that that black and that gray begins to diminish. And we want that white to overtake all of that. And we can easily, more easily, do away with the black than we can the gray. Because, like I said, a lot of us live in that gray and we don't even realize where we are. Until the more that that light shines on that gray, the things that were acceptable when you first came to Christ, now they're making a bigger difference in your life. Now you're saying, yeah, I recognize that dark, I don't want to go there no more. But the stuff that you said, a little lie here and there, or I took a pen from my work, I needed one, no big deal. You know, even those small things now begin to stand out to you. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. We need to grow. We need to allow for His Spirit to grow within us so that we die. That's what it's about. We are to die and let Him live through us. Thank you, Terry. I'll go on with 9. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here is no Gentile or Jew. Let me stop there on verse 10. And that's what I was talking about a little bit ago. Each day we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, if we allow the Spirit to do that for us. Each day we are to die to ourselves so that Christ may live through us. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to renew, re-educate, and redirect us to those things that are God's priorities for each one of us. Let's go on to verse 11. It says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So here Paul is pointing out our differences. We all think that we're correct. We all think we're correct in what we believe and what we stand for. I believe I'm in the right church. I believe I belong to the right political party. But there could be someone that's very close to me that believes the opposite. And even our children who are raised in the same household can grow to think and act so differently from each other. But differences should not be a wall builder, but a chance to understand another point of view. Hear them, but really hear them. Listen to them. They might have something for you to learn. A change of mind? Hey, that's God's work. Your mind may get changed. The other person's mind may get changed. But that's God's work. And since God is in all, we must trust that His truth will prevail. And that's what we're after. We're after truth. And so when you share your heart with somebody or listen to somebody, really listen. You know, maybe God wants you to speak just one word into their lives that might change their whole direction. And sometimes we even take this, you know, the differences, and we look at others maybe not as educated, or maybe not as, it's not easy for them to speak to people, or it's not, they're a little more reserved. We got people that just are a little more to themselves, but that surely doesn't make them any less loved by God or used by God. So never look down at those that you're walking life with, especially your kids. Never think that you've got it together and they don't. So lift them up, pray for them. Don't just ignore. Okay, let's go on. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is who we should be. And yet there are times when we may not feel very loving towards someone because of a word or action that hurt us. The smallest of these can open a door to disappointment that can grow into resentment. When we nurse grudges, When we nurse grudges over past hurts, a small root grows to be a great tree. Hebrews 12:15 calls it a bitter root. Bitterness springs up in our hearts and overshadows even our deepest treasured relationships with our closest friends and our families, bringing great division to that. Now, family can be the source of our greatest joy. It can also be of our greatest heartache. There's a great joy when we see a baby born into this world. Then also, as we celebrate its growth each birthday. But yet we may see that same child slips away from us, and our prayers don't seem to be working. Then that joy is replaced by heartache. We are to never give up on them. Hold on to the promise. See them as God sees them. God hasn't given up on them. You know, the direction of our life's journey can be changed by one single event. And I'm going to tell you of a single event in my life that could have changed my life, that could have changed my direction. Once upon a time, if we, here we go. Once upon a time, you know, my wife, my family, we lived in Sholo, Arizona, and my daughters all graduated from Sholo High School, so we spent many years up there. And my daughters had had graduated from high school, and they had moved to Tucson. And so this is like maybe 6 months or so after they, all my daughters were here in Tucson. We were still living in Sholo. And they went up there for a weekend. So I have three daughters. And they went up there for a weekend, spent the weekend, had a wonderful time. They're driving back Sunday afternoon after we went to church and so forth. And the next thing that I heard is that they had had a car accident. And they had a car accident. My two of my daughters were in one car. And they flipped their car off the road, went into a ravine. My other daughter was riding on a car behind them. This whole thing could have been where, you know, the daughter behind could have hit the car as they moved or whatever. It could have all turned out different. The car that my two daughters were driving wound up flipping over a ravine. And after I went back and I saw the place where they landed, there was big boulders, big mesquite trees, and right in the middle, just a big sandy area where the car landed. One of my daughters later told me, as a matter of fact, this is what brought this story up to me, is that one of my daughters told me that, she says, you know, Dad, I was just thinking about that accident the other day. And she said, I remember that when I saw the accident happen, she goes, it seemed like, and I know we've been in accidents, seemed like a slow motion. And she says, what came out of my mouth, she says, is I just yelled out, Jesus. She yelled the name of Jesus. She says, I didn't think of it, plan on it. Just the spirit within me brought it out. My youngest daughter was air-vac'd into a hospital here in Tucson. And the other ones were, you know, taken to the hospital to check out and so forth. But all that to say that, you know, my daughters are with me today, all three of them. Two of them are sitting here today. But I don't know if I would be standing here giving this message today if it would have turned out different. I don't know what would happen. Sometimes there are no words or answers to how and why things work out in our lives. Why do they work out the way they do? You know, my daughters came through this. My daughters are here with me today. But it could have been so much different. And I would hope that there would have been enough strength coming from me through the Holy Spirit that I could have gone through that. I don't know. But only through the guidance of the Holy Spirit can we walk through them. Only when we set our minds on things above and place our trust on a loving God that never lets go of us can we go forward. Sometimes these things may not have worked out in that way, but we need the Holy Spirit to walk us through these things. We can't do it on our own. There's no way. And so all we have is to rely on His direction, his guidance, and allow him to take over, because I think I would have died with my girls if that would have happened. I don't know. So, let's go on. After telling us who we are and who we should be, the following scriptures here in Colossians, Paul speaks to the family unit, the wives, the husbands, children, and fathers and mothers. But I want to go to Ephesians, where it gets into a little more detail in that same area. And so we're going to start with Ephesians 22. Ephesians 5:22, and it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands." Period. It sounds like the husbands have it made, huh? We know better, don't we, husbands? That just doesn't happen, does it? Now, the verse before, verse 21, says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." There is an order, so that if each of us gets in our place, it works. Now, though the times and the cultures have changed, God's word doesn't. And it's amazing how many church-going Christian husbands can take it out of context and use this in the wrong way. More like a club than an encouraging word. So, let's read it again with a period in the right place now. All right. And it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and they care for their own body, just as Christ does the church." And I'll stop right there. I want to read something that I found in my notes that I think kind of summarizes what this is telling us. It's just something I found, and it says, "A real man never hurts a woman. Be very careful when you make a woman cry, because God counts her tears. The woman came out of a man's rib, not from his head so he would be superior, but from his side to be equal, and under the arm to be protected, and next to the heart to be loved." So you can take all that scripture that I read and place yourself there. It isn't about submission so that you can beat him up with. If you're in your place, you're going to love her more than you love yourself. You're going to protect her. You're going to take care of her. You're going to see who she is. And I'll be real honest with you. I don't know what I would do without my other rib. So, God really has blessed us as husbands, you know, and as I see our church body, you know, we see wives that stand next to us. We see wives that promote us. We see wives that encourage us. And hopefully we're doing the same to their lives. We were made to be one, not to go in separate ways, not to go in different directions. We were made to be one. The woman came out of the man. And there's no way that you can separate. The man was made from the dust. The woman was made from the man. She is a part of who he is. Okay, so let's go on to Ephesians, continue on with Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I'm going to read. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I think any of us that have had kids, the obedience part comes much easier when the kids are real small, right? When they're very young, it seems like you just say, go do it. Well, most of them, and they go do it. As they age, maybe not so. The older they get, the little more of their own little minds they get, and it gets not as easy. So if you have done your part in taking care of them when they're little guys, then the honor part should come into place as they get older. So if we raise our children by our example of thoughtfulness and love, the honor and respect will follow for generations as they do the same, even when the parent becomes the one who needs the care in old age. So it's all, you know, we can take our role as a father or as a mom or whatever, and we know that there's even parents that get what they want by intimidation. You scare your kid enough, they're gonna do what you tell them. But of course, that's not the godly way to raise a child. It's taking their interest and your interest, and wanting to balance them, wanting to know what's right. And because you are the parent, it's your job to guide them in the right direction. And as I said earlier, if we are in that that right structure where we are, you know, where God is above us and we're listening to what God is saying, we're going to do the right thing for these children that we're raising. And the hope is, as I said, that what you teach them, they will teach their kids. That's part of the inheritance that we leave them, is that they are godly, that they are, they have a heart not only for those that they're with today, but even as the parent ages, that you want to take care of them, that it's not a burden to take care of your parents as they get older. It never says that once you get to be a certain age, you're done. Honor your parent means until you put them underground. And that honor should remain in all things. Sometimes those parents don't make it very easy for those of us growing up to honor them because of the way they are. Maybe they haven't had that godly rearing that hopefully our children are receiving today. So it does make it a little hard sometimes to say, how can I honor my dad or my mom? You know, how can I even respect them with the way they act? But the word doesn't say that you got to decide what to do. It says to do it. Honor them. God, the Holy Spirit, will give you all that you need to be able to do that. However, there is another culprit that lies in the midst. Freedom of choice. Not, that is what got Adam and Eve in trouble and is still doing it today. My mom always told me not to drink, not to drive fast. Well, I did both of them. Did both of them anyway. Wound up having a car accident. I wound up totaling my car, breaking my jaw, losing my driver's license, and just all that could have gone wrong. Now, all the forgiveness and all the repentance did not eliminate the consequences of my actions. I still had a broken jaw. I still had no car. And I still had no license, even though, like I'm sure many of us, we've all said, if I had it to do over again. And the thing is that we can't. Our decisions and our actions have long-range effects that we fail to evaluate. Even when a parent gives the best that they have to a son or a daughter, they still have the choice to obey and honor or not. So keep lifting your children to God. No matter their age, don't give up on them. God never gives up on them. My mom never gave up on me. She held on to the promise till the day she went to be with Jesus. Let's go on to Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. And it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serving wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Now, before I go a little more into it, I just love the way that that God does things. He puts that last verse there that says, and there is no favoritism with him. And he put that there so that all you guys would read it and agree with it, because he told me I was his favorite. And so, you know, he doesn't want you guys to know that, but he told me that. And so, you know, he even told John to say, John, the disciple that Jesus loved, right? It's written in the Word. So I am his favorite. And is it, no, all seriousness, isn't it neat to think that even our kids sometimes will, you know, I know my wife has, if you want to call it a problem, where each grandson, I'm your favorite, huh, Nana? I'm your favorite, huh, Nana? Everybody wants to be the favorite. And it's awfully hard to have a favorite. And so you can see somebody over there sitting on her lap trying to win that. But, you know, I just want to point that out. He says that God has no favorites, and that's good to see. He loves us all. He takes care of us all. And, you know, he's not going to do things for someone that he wouldn't do for somebody else. Now, when you see this thing about the slaves and the masters and all, that's the old terms, I guess. Now you could say bosses and workers. And all this is telling us is, You know, there's another place that says, do all things as unto the Lord. Our jobs are a place that shows our integrity, are a place that, you know, we have to know who we are regardless of where we are. Even if we're trying to find a place to hide when we should be working, God knows where you are. And so this is the thing that all of us, you know, in the working world or wherever you may be, is to, you know, to know. I always thought I am trading 8 hours of my life for a paycheck of those 8 hours. And when I walk away from that workplace, I want to feel good. I want to know that I gave them the best I had for what they gave me in return. And so if we can all get that into our heads and our spirits, to when you go work out there, it's not, you're not trying to take advantage of your boss, and your boss shouldn't be trying to take advantage of you. This is a trade. Part of your life is being spent there for some money that you can go buy groceries or feed your kids. So this should be taken a lot more serious than we do. Our jobs should be taken a lot more serious than we do. Be grateful that the Lord blessed you. The Lord is our provider. And that job is just an avenue that He's given you so that you can be that head of the house and take care of your those in your family. And now, I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And it says, finally. And I like the way it goes, it goes on there, because it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I find it pretty amazing that Paul goes through Ephesians speaking to families, and then after that revelation, he's telling us what we need. What do we need to have a strong, healthy family? Paul says we can't do it on our own. We can only be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. He fights our battles. When we see our loved one in a place that breaks our heart, it's not them that we should be coming against, but the evil forces that have taken reign of their lives. And so, you know, we're all very familiar with the armor of God. We're told what we need to not only protect ourselves, but here, we always seem to single out the armor of God on its own. But He was talking to families. He was talking to those people that we surround ourselves with. And He's saying, you need me to be the center of your focus, to fight your battles. Because if you try to tackle this on your own, the enemy's going to tear you up. Trust me. You have nothing. He has everything. And of course, we could go on through the armor and know what to put on. But one of the last things that that says after it tells you what to do, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. And I'll just stop there with that part. We're all familiar with what we need. We all know what we need to have in order to make it through this journey we're on. I have one more scripture that I'd like to read. before we fold here, and it's Hebrews 12. It's Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. And it says, He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry. I was reading 11. Here we go. It's 12:25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we? If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So church, even when the world around us seems to be falling apart, we will not be shaken. We belong to His unshakable kingdom. Let's pray. Please bow your heads. Father God, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that if there's anyone in this house, Lord, that you were speaking to, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring revelation specifically, Lord, to their place in this journey, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you never leave us where we are today, Lord. You're always taking us a little closer to you. Lord, I ask that you would speak to our spirits, Lord. And Lord, that you would just again renew our minds, Lord. That place that sometimes the enemy can have a field day with. All the things that we think, all the things that we may come to reality because we see them not the way you see them, Lord. Give us your eyes, Lord, your spiritual eyes. Give us spiritual eyes, Lord. Give us spiritual ears, Lord. Help us to see people, Lord, and especially our families as you see them. Show us how to pray, Lord. You be the one to lead us in prayer, Lord. And as that last word says, Lord, sometimes we don't know how to pray. So we pray in the Spirit, Lord. We pray where you understand what we're praying, Lord. And you bring those things to pass, Lord. Even when we have no idea what we're asking for. Your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come in each one of us. In this church body, Lord. And Lord, your unshakable kingdom. As we see things that are not right in our lives, the people, the our governments, whatever it may be, Lord, your kingdom will live forever, Lord. And it lives within us, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us and that we are all your favorites. And we just bless you. May his face shine upon each one of you. May his peace be upon you. And I just want to